Okay, we're the Mishnah Daf Chav Beis, very very long Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ein Zchus Tola B'Mayim Hamarim. That we mentioned. If you remember this last time we talked about Rabbi Shimon beforehand, Rabbi Shimon holds that there's no idea called Zchus Tola. We saw before there that we just thought that maybe the idea that if you the lady who encourages her husband to go and to learn Torah, waits for him, the children to. Helps them get to the base of Medrash and learn as well. So we said they have zchuyos. So Rishimon holds no such thing as zchus tola. If a woman's guilty, she'll die on the spot. Why? You might tell Omer zchus tola in my mar. If you do suggest that there's an idea called zchus tola when it comes to the mesotan, madhe atas and my they call nashmashosos. You go into madhe, you're going to weaken. You're going to weaken the fright of the Mayim Hamarim in front of any woman who potentially could come to drink it. They're going to know that it's not going to react right away, and they'll be more comfortable to not admit it. And besides that, maybe even worse, that the women who actually are innocent, they'll be motzi shemra about them. People are going to suggest that they're not really innocent, but maybe they have zchuyos, and that's why they're not blowing up. But in reality, they really committed the crime. So the power of the waters, which is to, number one, to, I guess, shed light and let us know really what's going on, whether they did it or not, according to Rabbi Shimon, you would lose a lot of its power if you don't hold by the concept called Tzchus, if you held by the concept called Tzchus Tola. Rebbe, though, you know, argues, Rebbe Omer, has Tzchus Tola by Amar. He says Tzchus is Tola. Tzchus does push off the impact. But still, even though it's Tola, we know normally when a woman drinks the waters and nothing happens to her, she's supposed to have a child. Says Rebbe, well, that's not going to happen, obviously, if it's the reason why she's not blowing up is because of Tzchus Tola. Eina Yoleda, she's not going to have a child when the waters go into her body. Veina Mishabachas, and she's not going to be Mishabachas. She's not going to start improving. She's not going to get healthy. El Misnavna Voleches. She's going to start getting sicker a little bit. If you remember, we had this discussion earlier on as well. She starts to get sick slowly but surely. The sof, he may suppose misa, and the end, whether it takes 1 year or 2 years or 3 years even, at the end she's going to die. But osamisa, the same, you know, her thighs falling, her stomach swelling, and she implodes, that same death will happen to her, but it'll happen over a drawn-out period of time. Besides the 1, 2, 3 year thing, remember we had three other panels we saw in the Gemara about how long it could be in Tzchus Tola. Remember where they were? Who remembers how much the other time it was?
1 to 3 years.
We had 1, 2, or 3 years. Besides, we had not in the Mishnah, but in the Gemara, we had two other potential amount of time. Remember, they were that weren't like our Mishnah.
It was 3 months.
3 months, and then
9 months.
Excellent. 3 months time. They both had to do with Zera, right? The first one, 3 months, is that's how much time it takes for someone to recognize Hukar Ubra that she's pregnant. That's a Zera, and the second one we said was no, it's got to be a Zera that actually can come Misupar, that can sing Hashem's praises as Rashi, that can talk. It's got to be 9 months. It's got to be a pregnancy that delivers the term. Anyways, over here, though, we say, according to Rebbe, that wherever long it's going to take you, when it starts the process, she drinks, she's not going to blow up right away. She's not going to have a child. But she's also similarly, it's going to be a slow process that eventually will end in the same death that we described in the Torah. Nitmeis. So now here's the new thing now. Nitmeis minchas achlo kid shabakli. What would happen now? Again, forget about her being guilty or not guilty. But now we know the korban, the soto offers a korban along with the drink that she drinks. What if that korban becomes tameh, comes tameya, the mincha, before she put it into the kli? I mean, again, she brings in this kfifas mitzri. That's how the mishnah starts. A parak starts off. She takes the sota in a kfifas mitzri, in this mitzri, this wicker basket type of thing, which is not a kli sharis yet. What if in that process it became tameh right then before it put the kli sharis? So it's like every other korban mincha that would, before being put into kli sharis, would become tameh. And you can redeem it, meaning what you do is you take money, you chal the kedusha onto the money. This mincha now, the grains become regular grains. You can now use them in your barley soup, and you take the money that you just redeemed it on, and you use that for a new mincha that you buy. You mean shekitsha the kli, but if you're ready, sanctified in the kli, already you can chol hamenachos. But if it's like every other korban mincha, that would be mekadesh and then not be able to be offered, and then you can't redeem it. And you burn it. Again, you can't offer it because it's tameh, but you burn it. Again, we had a discussion also. What did we have a discussion earlier on? Remember we had a discussion earlier on this idea about redeeming versus burning the mincha? Remember we had this beforehand? discussion about redeeming it, burning it. We spoke before about it. Let's say you had Adam in the world who knew something. So we said before that the korban won't be effective and the waters won't work. So maybe we should say in the end that you should be able to redeem it. So why do we say that you burn it if there are Adam in the world who know about it? Remember what we said there? Why burn it instead of redeem it?
We don't want people to think that they can like get their mitzvah.
Excellent. People want people to think that you can put something in a klish shareis and then redeem it afterwards. It's too late. Now, if even though we know the reason why you're redeeming it now is because it wasn't really properly considered klish shareis. It wasn't, the process never really started because it could never finish. But no one else would know that, and therefore, we shouldn't let you redeem it because otherwise it'll be maris ayin. Where else do we have it? We question. If you remember, we questioned that. We said, I'll show you a case where we don't worry about that. What people think, and we do let you take it out even though the process already started. Remember what that was? We had a scenario where we said, if that's the case, how do you explain this din where we did put something in klish shareis and we pulled it out afterwards? And we didn't make you redeem. We didn't make you burn it. Remember where that was? When we asked the question on this case. It was a case of, we said, what if Adam Zomim? What if the original stira was about Adam Zomim? The original stira, the Adam there, were Adam Zomim. You already started the process, but you found out Adam Zomim right now, and you already put in the cliche. Like, oh, you take it out. We said, well, take it out. What about the fact that we just pointed out that you are you're supposed to assume that people don't know the difference? What do we answer there? Remember? Yeah. What do you got, Aaron? What do you got?
Wasn't it like whenever there's Adam Zomim, everyone knows about it?
Excellent. Super. There's a call, right? Everyone knows about Adam Zomim. Not everyone knows about something else like an aid in the world knowing about it. Very, very good. Call a couple. Okay, back in our Gemara now. Says the Gemara again, we're now on the top of Chav Gimel Aleph. Here are the women, at least in the case of the Sota, whose korban minchas have been sanctified, but the process is going to be halted and you burn their korban. Omer is Tmei Anilcha. That's one of them, right? She says, I did it. I committed the crime. So no reason to carry through the rest of the process, even though you already sanctified it in Klisharis. Or if Adam come along and say she's Tmei. So once again, there we say, okay, process is finished. We know the answer. You can stop it over here and burn it. Omer is Eini Shosa. And she says, I'm not going to drink it. We said before that not going to drink it is that you're allowed to say that, except for when? When can you no longer say, I'm not going to drink it? You remember? When do we force you to drink it? Even if I'm not going to, we force you at some point. When do we do that?
After the minchas brach.
After the
minchas brach.
That's one possibility. Or
after the waters have been erased.
Excellent. After the names have been erased, the waters. Excellent. Those are the two possibilities for Rekiva. Rekiva had two ways of saying it over. Either one of them, though, then we force you. But if she can say before that process, she can say, I'm not drinking it. Not that I'm guilty, but I'm not drinking it. The Shabbala in a road slash goes. Let's say her husband says, you know what? She's the mother of my children. I'm not interested in having her blow up. If she did it, I'm not going to give her a drink. So again, take care of the minchas, burn on the dashan, burn on the trash heap in the mikdash area. And the last one is shabala bala abaderech. If her husband sleeps around the way, how come over there we burn it in that case? If her husband sleeps around the way, why do we burn it in that case? Remember Aaron or no?
Does he has to be, like, he has to be, not sure. He has to be a good guy also, no?
He has to be clean of these types of crimes as well if the water is going to work. Otherwise, the waters won't work. There's no reason to bring the korban anymore. Only, says V'niksa V'nizra Zerah. If he's nucky, then the whole process can actually be tested. But if he's not, and over here he wasn't because he's not allowed to sleep with her anymore, so we would not let her drink, and therefore we would not bring the korban either. What do we do, just as a little quiz again, what do we do to try to make sure that he doesn't sleep with her on the way?
We send like the two kohanim over there.
Excellent. Two kohanim, right? Why yeah. Not the two?
Because if one of them go to the bathroom. Or...
Oh, so Gemara said that at first. Like, she goes in. That. What is the other second reason Gemara gave? Why two?
So not yichud?
So that, well, our first time, maybe that's a proof. We said maybe not. Maybe that's not the answer. Why should know?
Not sure.
I think we said for Adam, to be Adam. If in the end they committed the crime, they were alone. So Adam would say, now don't give her a drink because we saw they were together alone. Okay, good. Back in the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, the Chol Nesuos L'Kohanim, Nichosei Nisrafos, anyone who's married to a Kohen, this is not only by a Sota, by the way, this is a new rule of Korban Mincha in general. Any woman married to a Kohen, her Mincha is burned completely, meaning normally what you do, we said before, is that you take a Kometz, you take a handful, and the Shiraim, what happens to the Shiraim, of that handful, what happens to the remaining part? Remember what happens to it? Of a Korban Mincha, what happens to the Shiraim?
The Kohanim eat it.
Excellent. The Kohanim get to eat it. What can they not do with it, Aaron? What can they not do with it, the Kohanim, when they eat it? What can they can't do?
Feed it to people?
No, I didn't say that. I mean, that may be true, but it doesn't say nothing about that. What can they make sure it doesn't happen to it?
It can't become chametz, right?
Good. It can't become chametz. Very good. It can't become chametz. So over here we say, this is when it comes to a normal person, but when it comes to a person married to a Kohen, there's no Shiraim. You know, there's no Shiraim to be had. We'll see why in the Gemara very soon. Bas Yisrael, Shenisei Slakoin, Minchas and Nisrefes. So that applies to when a Bas Yisrael marries a Kohen. But a Kohenis, if it's a daughter of a Kohen, who's Nisei Sli Yisrael, then Minchas and Echelas. There, the Shiraim can be eaten by the Kohanim. Once we already discussed the difference between a Kohen and a Bas Kohen. Again, a Bas Kohen is, if she marries Yisrael, is like a regular person. And therefore, you have, when she offers a Mincha, not only a Sota, but any Mincha, so part gets offered and part gets eaten by the Kohanim. And a lady, even a regular Yisrael, married to a Kohen, so there's nothing that gets eaten by that lady, by the Kohanim there. Everything gets consumed. Again, the Gemara will discuss later on how this works. But the Gemara right now is going to discuss about the difference between Kohanim and male Kohanim and female Bas Kohen. It says the Gemara the following. Ma bein Kohen l'Kohenis. The difference between a male and a female Kohen. So minchas Kohenis ne'acheles. Minchas Kohen eino ne'acheles. The mincha of a female Kohen, which she offers a mincha, whether it be a sota or any mincha for that matter, any korban she offers, that's a mincha. So there, the shirayim that can be eaten, but the Kohen's shirayim are never eaten. And the reason why Rashi here says, is because it says in the pasuk, to call minchas Kohen kalil tiyeh, lo tochel, that any mincha of a Kohen is consumed entirely, no one should eat it. But that's a Kohen, not a Bas Kohen. The Gemara again later on will say, where did we get that from? So we had over here a Kohen, again, Kohen, Kohenis mischaleles, the Kohen ain't no a mischalel. A Kohen can lose, a Bas Kohen can lose her Bas Kohen status. She can become mischaleles. If she sleeps with somebody who lost her to sleep with, then she would not be able to have the Bas Kohen status, which means a number of things. It might mean things such as she can't marry potentially a Kohen. She'd be a chalala. Or that she can't eat truma anymore, things like that. But a Kohen who commits a crime similarly is not become a halal. I mean, if a Kohen would sleep with a woman he shouldn't be with, like a grusha or a gioris, the Kohen has his status still. He doesn't lose his status. You have any Maseches Makos? That's the very beginning of Maseches Makos, that a Kohen can make someone a halal, but himself does not become a halal. A Kohenes, a woman who's a Bas Kohen, who sleeps with someone that she shouldn't, so she becomes a halala. Another between a Kohen and a Kohenis. Kohenis mitama lemesim. Vein Kohen mitama lemesim. Again, the issue of being in a cemetery or touching a dead body, becoming tummy, is only a male, not a female. Kohen ochel b'kotche kotchim. Vein Kohenis ochel b'kotche kotchim. A Kohen can eat the kotche kotchim. For example, a chatas, an asham, a mincha. These are all things that dafka, a male Kohen eats. It says in the pasuk, kol zachar b'kohanim yochlenu. But it's only for the kotche kotchim, only for a male Kohen, not for a female Kohen. Now, once we talk about males and women within Kohanim, let's talk about men and women regarding other areas, even Yisrael. What's between a man and women in general? Other halachas may be different. And I'm not mentioning every halacha, but other halachas might be different. Ha'ich poreh uforeim, v'ne'isha poras uforemes. Rashi explains over here, when it comes to a mitzora, someone has leprosy, they have to let their hair, poreh means let their hair go wild. They don't cut their hair. And their clothing, poreim, is like tattered. They wear clothing. They have to tear their clothing and wear tattered clothing when they're a mitzora. It applies to a man only. A woman does not do that to her hair or to her clothing. Ha'ish madir is beno nazir. A man can make a swear and that swear will make his son be a nazir. Ha'ish madir is beno nazir. But a woman cannot make a swear and make her son a nazir against his will. A man can. A woman cannot do that to her son. Ha'ish megalech on nazirus aviv. A man... This over here, Rashi says over here, if you have a person, let's say a father, a man was a Nazir. And part of the process of the Nazir, when you finish the Nazir process, you offer korbanos. It's called tiglachas. On the tiglachas, when you cut your hair, you also give korbanos as a nazir when you finish the process. If a man would pass away, a father would pass away, and he had these korbanos set aside for his finishing of nazirus, and his son or his daughter and or his daughter became a nazir, the question is, can they use their father's korban that he designated for his nazirus as their own? So here says the Mishnah, a man, a boy, a son, can use the his megalech on nazirus. It means he can, quote unquote, shave, but means he can use the korbanos of when he shaves, when he finally comes back from the state of nazir, when he finishes the state of being a nazir, when he cuts his hair as a siman that he's done, he can use the korbanos his father set aside for himself before the father died, for his own korbanos for the shaving of the nazir. But a woman cannot do that. A woman cannot use the korbanos designated by her father. We'll get the Gemara later on. We'll just say the reason why is halacha mishnah. We don't understand exactly why, but this is the halacha mishnah we have regarding the rules of a nazir. Ha'ish mekadesh bito, ben ish mekadesh bita. A man can marry off his daughter to someone when she's younger, when she's a katana, and a woman, a mother, cannot marry off her daughter when she's a katana. Ha'ish mocher es bito, ben ish mocher es bita. A man can sell his daughter as an ama ivriya when she's a katana, and a woman cannot sell her daughter as an ama ivriya when she's a katana, or at all. Ha'ish niskal arum, ben ish niskal aruma. A man is stoned without clothing on, and a woman is not stoned without clothing on. Remember, we had the discussion earlier on. We have that as a seeming problem. Why was that a problem? We did this Gemara earlier. What was the seeming contradiction that we had, you remember? About whether or not a man and a woman are stoned without clothing on? Remember how I brought in the Gemara earlier on? No free lunch for you boys. No free lunch. You gotta remember we got. Yeah, I already got from Aaron.
Did we say we don't want, it's already enough that she's being stoned, we don't want people to look at her?
Excellent. Excellent. Rabbi Yehuda said, Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah by Soda said that you don't tear her clothing if she's pretty. You don't want to make people to look at her. But yet Rabbi Yehuda says that she's basically stoned with almost no clothes on. We said, what's the difference over here? Remember we get some difference? What difference we gave? You remember that? What difference do we say over there? Why does Rabbi Yehuda say you're allowed to? You're not supposed to have her without clothing on when she's a sota, but you can when she's about to be stoned.
Because when she's going to be stoned, she's going to die, but sota she might live.
Excellent. And therefore, so what if she lives?
Then people are going to be like aroused from her because
exactly. And if they see her, they're going to see her later on. They're going to remember if they saw her without clothing on. That'll be something that'll be bad for them in the future. Excellent. Very good. Very good, Aaron. Aish nitlav and aish nitlis. A man can be hanged. A woman is not hanged. Aish nimkar b'gnevaso and aish nimkar b'gnevaso. A man, if he steals and doesn't have what to pay back, he's sold because he stole and doesn't have what to pay back. And a woman is not sold if the same thing happens to her. That's all the Mishnah, the long Mishnah. That's halfway done our daf for today. We're going to finish the parak day. Mishashem tan rabbanan konasuos l'kahuna min chosei nisrafos. Anyone, we said before, who's married to a Kohen, so their korban, their mincha, is burned, meaning no one, there's no shirayim. Ketzad, explain how so. Kohenis levia of Yisraelis, no matter what you are as a male, sorry, as a female, but you're Nisei's the Kohen, you're married to a Kohen. Ein mincha senechelos, no, your mincha is not eaten at all. Now, why not? Meisha yesh lo chelik ba. Because he, meaning the husband, has a portion in your korban, meaning you share, I guess, finances. The husband may have a share in the korban. Meaning, again, the husband usually his money is they share money, but the husband's really the one in charge of the money, which means that the husband's money is being used to buy a korban mincha. If that's the case, then it's like the husband's also. And the husband doesn't shirayim, if he gives a korban a mincha. The Kohen's mincha has no shirayim. So on one hand, no one can eat the Kohen's mincha, and therefore the Kohen's wife also you can't eat it. Again, it's not only a sota, if it applies to any korban mincha brought by a woman married to a Kohen. On the other hand, as opposed to a Kohen who, that, there's no kmitza for the Kohen, you just burn the entire thing. But here, you can't do that. If ain't all a Khalil, you can't consume the whole thing like a normal Kohen, because she also has a portion of it. So we're kind of a catch-22. Since he has parts of it, then no one can eat it. But since she has part of it's hers, she's offering it, you can't burn the whole thing. That's dafka, a male Kohen thing. So I can't burn the whole thing, but I also can't eat the remainder. So what do I do? This is Gemara. Ella komates kara ba'atzmo. Vashiraim kriven ba'atzmon. So what you do is you take the handful out. That's probably be relevant to her. And you burn that on the Mizbeach. And then the rest of it you take separately and you burn that Mizbeach as well. Burn both of the Mizbeach. Gemara says, how can you do that? Ikri kan kol shu mimenu li'ishim harehu b'baal hitaktiru. It means the following halacha. Anything that has the status of mimenu. Rashi explains that if you have a korban and you offer part of that korban, then the rest of the korban that's not offered would be over an isser if you offer it. Meaning, whatever should be offered in a korban, once I do that offering, the remaining part of that korban is an isser of called baal taktiru. You're not allowed to also offer that. It's already, the korban's already been offered. So if you would hold the woman supposed to offer only the kmitza, that means that the remaining part, if you would offer it right now, if you shouldn't, but you do offer it, you put it on the mizbech and you offer the rest of it up also on the mizbech, there's an elotase called baal taktiru. I'm reading the pasuk inside. The pasuk says the following thing. It says, "Kol mincha asher takribu l'Hashem lo se'aseh chametz." Any mincha that you offer to Hashem, it should not be chametz. Kol se'or v'chol dvash lo saktiru mimenu yishel Hashem. Any se'or, any dvash, and any se'or should not be offered up as an yishel l'Hashem. Again, the word here is mimenu. From one that was offered already, you can't offer a second part to it. And therefore, if you hold the woman really is the main part of the mincha, and the part we take off for her is really the offering, you can't burn the other part of his bech. That would be inappropriate. That would be an isra of baal taktiru. But if the part was supposed to be for him, the whole thing was supposed to be for him, then it would be appropriate to offer the entire thing. We don't know what to do because we don't know which is which. So now we're kind of catch 22. What should I do right now? How do I, again, because we don't know whether it's considered the kohen's or the isha's, because he has a part of it, but so does she. If it's the kohen, you should burn the whole thing. If it's the isha's, you should only burn part of it and not the whole thing. And if I burn the extra part, that would be an isra of baal taktiru. So what do I do? So Rabbi Yehuda brings Rabbi Shimon Pazi, the masik lula shem eitzim. What you do is that you offer it up, meaning you give the shirayim, and the shirayim is, you offer the kmitza, and that part's fine. And regarding the shirayim, what do? So you're masik it, you burn it, l'shum eitzim, to act as like firewood. Meaning, besides the Mizbeach having korbanos on there, they also have firewood, have fuel for the fire on there as well. So what you do is you make a special t'nai, Rabbi Eliezer, Tanri Eliezer, Omer, L'rech Nichoach, Yatzamala. It says over here, it says the pasuk, it says you can't offer it, L'rech Nichoach. You can't offer it as a offering to Hashem, Yatzamala. That you can't offer it. Aval, Atzamaleu, L'shum Eitzim. But you're allowed to offer it as like firewood, as fuel. So we have like this kind of a limbo status, but we can solve it. I'm not sure to burn the shirayim or not. I don't know what to do with it. And therefore, if I would burn it when I shouldn't, I'm over Isra Batatiru. But if I should burn it and I don't, then I'm also not doing it properly. So what do? He says, put it on the Mizbeach and say the following tonight. If we look at this as being the Kohen's mincha, then everything should be burned and this cast is part of my offering. The fact that I separated a piece and burned both parts separately, that's fine. It doesn't take away from the part. But if you hold, it's really like the women's mincha, and therefore you only offer the kmitza, and you shouldn't offer anything more than that. And if you would, it would be isra of baal taktiru, an isra of a lotase in the Torah of offering mimenu, when you offered part of it already that you should offer. If you give any more to the mizbech, that would be an isra. What do? So I put it on the mizbech, and I say, you know what? If this shouldn't be offered, then this is like firewood, this fuel for the fire, which we also need to put on the mizbech. It counts as that. And therefore, that would be a tznai I can make, and that would solve our problem. Okay, says the Gemara, that's very nice, Rabbi Eliezer. Hanichle Rabbi Eliezer, the Islay High Svar. Rabbi Eliezer holds that you can make this tonight. El Rabbanan, let's do High Svar, Michael Mayer. But the Rabbanan, who argue? The Rabbanan, again, this over here is the Machokas and Mesechas Vachem. And the Rabbanan say, you can't do that. The Rabbanan say, what you should do in this case is you should take the Kamitza, you offer the handful, and the rest of it you kind of leave out to rot. Don't offer it, but you can't give it to Kohen to eat. You don't have to do with it. So we leave it to kind of get spoiled, and then you burn it by the base of dashen. Again, no one can eat it, but you can't offer it. So according to the Rabbanan, now what do? Again, Rabbi Lezer says, no problem. You're going to offer part of it for the kmitza, and the other part you put in the same as Beach, and you give this tznai. Rabbi Lezer lets you have this tznai, this conditional offering. But the Rabbanan, who argue in the Mesechus Vachem on Rabbi Lezer, what do they say you do now? I can't eat the whole thing. I can't give it to anyone to eat, because maybe it's really the coins. And I can't offer the whole thing because maybe it's really the Isha's not being appropriate to do. What do you do? So the Avdi Luke, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Tan Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Omer, Akomitz, Krab, Atmo, Vashraim, Pazma, Besadashim. What you do is as follows. What you do is you take the handful, that is offered separately, and the Shirayim, what's remaining, is scattered by the base of Dushan. Again, over here, this is a very, very particular scenario over here that we have. Meaning, you have a case of hold on one second, boys. Give me one second. I apologize. Back in one second. Okay, we're back. Sorry about that. There's a case over here. We have a scenario when you have a Kohen who's giving a chatas. Now, a chatas can be brought from different things. And if a person's very poor, they bring a chatas with the mincha offering, with the grain offering. So if you have it, the question is, how is this chatas treated? It looks like a mincha as far as it being grains, but it's not a mincha, it's a chatas. It's a separate type of a korban. Do we treat it like a normal mincha as well, where we offer the entire thing like we do for Kohen's mincha in general? You offer, there's no kmitza for the Kohen, you put the whole thing on the altar and you burn it, or do we treat it differently? It's a machlokas in the Gemara, and therefore the Gemara brings down and suggests in our scenario, in our case, machlokas in your lezer, Rabbi Shimon, and the Rabbanan, the Meseches Menachos. So Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shimon says, what do? So you give the handful, you offer it, and the remaining part, you don't offer, but you also can't eat it. So you scatter it by the base of Dushan, you burn it by the base of Dushan. Now, that's what Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shimon says. The Rabbanan say, no, you burn the entire thing like you always do. It's a mincha of a Kohen, even though it's a Chadas, but it's brought down as a mincha, and you burn the whole thing. So therefore, what do the Rabbanan say do in our case? Same thing. You should, in the case when they argue, again, they argue on, Rabbanan who do not agree with Rabbi Elazar, who holds that you can make this tznai and treat it like firewood, so what you do instead is that you offer part of the kmitza on the mizbech, and no one can eat the other part of it, and they say you can't do the whole offering of a conditional offering, so just burn the rest of it on the base of dashan. And even, says Gemara now, Tav Chavkim Obeis, even the Rabbanan, Avila Rabbanan, who argue in Meseches Menachos with Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, and say that normally you should burn the whole thing, that's dafka, that's in a certain scenario over there. The minchas chatas, again, of the kohanim, when they offer the chatas over there, they're in dafka there, they hold that we would burn the entire thing. Only there, we say you burn the entire thing. But over here, in our sugya, when it's the mincha of the isha, and therefore, you can't burn it. Why can't you burn it? Because it might be something called Baal Tatziru. Again, whether or not you burn the entire mincha of a chatas, again, if a Kohen brings the I don't say the word cheapest, but the cheapest version of a chatas, which is the grains, and he offers the whole thing up, it is Baal HaKrav. You can't offer the whole thing. There's no Isser in doing that. Rabbi Shimon says you don't do that, but it could be. The Rabbanan says you could offer the whole thing, burn the whole thing on the Mizbech at one time. You could. But here you can't, in our case of the Mincha Sota. Why can't you? Because it's a catch 22. If it's the Kohen's, then you should. If it's the Isha's that you're not allowed to, and it's an Isra if you do it, so what do you do right now? So therefore, since over here you have no option of burning the whole thing at once, it might be a problem to do that because that's not what the avoda of the mincha of the Isha's Kohen is when it's a Sota, or at any point for that matter of an Isha's Kohen. So therefore, I can't burn the whole thing up. What do I do in that case? So now he says, take a handful and burn them as Bech, and the rest of it you burn on the base of Dushan. Even though normally, again, the Rabbanan argue with Rabbi Shimon that you shouldn't do that for the Kohen's Minchas Kote, that's because the Kohen's Minchas Kote, they can be offered the whole thing at once. But here, since it's a Sota, or any Isha but married to a Kohen, you cannot do that because it might be a problem of inappropriate offering. So therefore, we're stuck. So therefore, even the Rabbanan there would let you burn it, the Kmitza on the Mizbech, and the rest of it burned by the Beis HaDashan. So we have two ways, again, of explaining what happens to the Mincha of the Sota. What are the two possible ways we treat the Mincha of a Sota who's married to a Kohen? Aaron, give me one way. What's one thing we do, according to some opinions, to the Mincha of a Sota?
If we say that she can't eat it, since
right, sorry, definitely say, she can't eat it, she's married to her for sure. So what do we do with it then? We definitely offer
We offer the komex.
Good, for sure. Now the question: what happens next part? We have a chokas. Either what or what? What are the two options that we have?
Either the shirayim you can use as the firewood.
Good. I mean, you get tznai that says if it's not supposed to be burned. Then it counts as firewood, good. Or what we just said just now is what? Or what do you do?
Or you can scatter it by the base of dust.
Good, which really means to burn it by the base of dust. Exactly, burn it by the base of dust. Exactly, very good, excellent. Okay, but here, again, now, okay, there, there they say burn the whole thing because you can. Because there it's all the Kohanim. And the Kohanim, we said, is no problem burning the entire offering of the Kohanim. Aval Beha, but in the case when the Kohanim is married to a lady and it's her offering, I think the Rabbanim Modu, the Rabbanim would agree that you can't burn the whole thing potentially. And therefore, it's better just to burn part of it on the Mizbech and the Kemitza, the Kohanim on the Mizbech, and the rest of it, the Shirayim, is burned on the Beis HaDash. Okay. Next part is pretty quick. Next part of the Gemara goes through really just the source for all things we mentioned in the Mishnah. We said Bas Yisrael and Nesua. We said before Bas Yisrael and Nesua again to a Kohen is the whole thing is burned. There's no Shirayim. My time. Damar Krav. Chol Minchas Kohen Kliel Tiyeh. Lo Sochel. We said Afka, that's only a male Kohen. But a female Kohen Velo Kohenis. This only applies to a male Kohen. Not someone who's married to Kohen. A male Kohen applies to. A Kohenis, a female Kohen, we would not see the same rules by there. We don't burn the entire thing. There you would have Kmitza and Shirayim. You would have it there. Again, anyone who's married to a Kohen, also it's a question whether it's the Kohen's or not. So therefore we said that's our case of a Suffolk here, whether you burn the Kmitza and the rest of it for firewood maybe, or the rest of it the Beis HaDashen maybe. But that's the whole idea of a Kohen, only his stuff is burned entirely. That's only a male and not a female Kohenis. We say Kohenis Mishchalel, Kohen Ein Mishchalel. If a Kohenis sleeps with someone she shouldn't be sleeping with, she's relations with someone she didn't have relations with, she's turned to the Chalala. But a Kohen does the same thing as not. Why? Minalan, Tamakra, Lo Yechalel Zaro Ba'amav. It says over here, don't sleep with a person you shouldn't sleep with, because by doing so, you don't want to make your Zara a Chalal. If you do sleep with him, then your Zara will become a Chalal. So don't sleep with these people, because otherwise your Zara become a Chalal. What does that imply? It says Gemara, Zaro mischalel, who ain't mischalel? The Zera would be mechalel in that case. Doesn't say you don't want you to become a chalal because you're not a chalal if you sleep with someone you shouldn't sleep with. That's a male kohen, but a kohenis would be chalal if you sleep with someone you should not be sleeping with. Okay. Kohenis mitama. Kohenis can become tame, but a kohen can't. My time. I'm a kra. And more of a kohenim b'nei Aaron. When the Torah describes that you cannot be with, you cannot touch a dead body, you can't become tame, it says tell the kohanim the b'nei Aaron. B'nei Aaron, v'lo b'nos Aaron. Kohen ochel b'kachay kach. So Kohen can eat those certain foods we mentioned earlier on. But the Ksivs at the pasuk calls zachar bnei Aaron yochlena. Any male of Aaron's children can eat it. Any male, but no female Kohenis can't eat it. Uma bein ish in general, not only Kohen and Kohenis, but now an ish and isha. We said before priya and prima, which means again priya is the hair going running wild and not cutting it, and the prima means the clothing should be torn and wear tattered clothing when you're with Sora. Why dafka ish on isha? Tanur ban on ish. In the Elish, Isha Minayim, how do you even know that a woman also is shayach to being it can have the rules of Tsaras. I don't know. Again, the word Ish over here, the Pasuk says inside, read the Pasuk inside for you. It says, Ish Tsarua Hu Tamei. So it says over here that a man who's a Tsarua. So what does the word Ish mean? Maybe you think to me that only an Ish can be a, can get a certain type of Tsaras that we're describing the Pasuk over here. It's called the saras of nitakim netek, which is a certain saras on let's say becoming bald, the bald spot a person might have. That's called the netek. So maybe you tell me only an ish can have such saras. Or it says no. Ein el ish ish minayim because you omer about sarua sherbo, the one who is afflicted with this type of saras. That sounds like a more of a general statement. Harei kan shnayim at sarua sherbo, that implies multiple. People, not only a man, but even a woman, can become a tsarua can become tsaras with nesek, with a bald patch in her hair. So that's the case. If that's the case, again, the word about tsarua seems to be extra. It seems to be, said Rashi here says, you don't have to say the word tsarua. Could have just said, explains Rashi, could have written, Begadav ye prumim, rosho ye parua. Why mention vatsarua a second time? So it must be, there's also a second type person who becomes tsaras, which is, a woman can't saras as well. If that's the case, then why single out a man, says the Gemara? If both a man, again, Aish is man, obviously, and the word sarua later on is extraneous, meaning even a woman, imke mata malomar ish, why mention ish specifically? Lidin shalamata, to teach you the part that comes afterwards, which is ish porea, etc. Only a man has the rules of pri and prima. Again, the man is singled out, different than a woman. Why? They both can have saras with nesek, with bald spots. But the new part of a man is only a man is obligated in the rules of pre and prima, which means making sure that his hair is wild and his clothing are torn. That only applies to an ish, not to an isha. Okay, regarding nazir, ha'ish madir es b'no nazir. If an ish madir says b'no nazir, only a man can make his son, can declare his son a Nazir. He can promise on behalf of his son, make him a Nazir. But an Isha can't do it for her son. Rabbi Yochanan, Halach ibn Nazir. The reason why? Halach Moshe Sinai. Nazir has rules. This is a rule. It's not based on a pasuk at all. It's Halach Moshe Sinai. It's our Masorah we have by Nazir. And similarly, Aish Megaleach on the Zeros Aviv, in Aish Megalechas on the Zeros Aviv, only a son can use his father's pre-designated korbanos when he finishes the Nazir status. But a daughter cannot use her father's. Why? Same idea. Rabbi Yochanan, Halach ibn Nazir. It's Halach Moshe Sinai also when it comes to a Nazir. These are two rules we see that we don't have psukim to support it, but we have the Masorah from Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. These are the rules when it comes to a Nazir, both regarding that only a father can make his son a Nazir, not a mother. A mother can make her son a Nazir. And also only a son can use his father's korbanos set aside when he passed away before he offered them as finishing his Nazir process. If he becomes a Nazir, the son can use those korbanos, but the daughter cannot use those korbanos. Okay, finally, Aish Mekadosh Bito, Vein Aish Mekadosh Bito, Tchsiv, because in the Pasuk, only a man can marry his son off, not a woman, not marry her son off. Her daughter off when she's young. Tchsiv, as Bisina Tati Shazer, he, the father's talking. He says, I gave my daughter to this man. It's something that only the son is only the father. The Nesina only gives by the father and not by the daughter, not by the mother. I'm sorry, she cannot give her daughter over, only the father can. Ha'ish mocher es bito ve'ish mocher es bito. Only a man sells his daughter as an ama, not a mother. Tichsev kim kor ish es bito. Ha'ish diskar. Only a man is stoned without clothing on. My taima v'ragmu oso. It says you stone him. My oso. What does it mean? You stone him. Ilema oso v'lo oso. You tell me that you only stone males, but females aren't even stoned at all. That's not true. Tichsev says over here. Well, it says ha'isha hu or ha'isha hi. It says you bring out this man or this woman to be stoned. We know a woman is also stoned. So why does it say v'ragmu oso that you stone him? Ela oso below ksuso, below osa below ksusa. Only he is without clothing on, but she would be with clothing on. Because the Torah over here does describe, we're talking about stoning them. One second. Yeah, when it comes to stoning them here, again, the halacha is that we learn out from this pasuk, again, a mute, that only he oso without clothing on, and she though would be able to have her clothing on. Why we mentioned earlier on? Why is it that a person is stoned without clothing on? Do you remember why? What does Gemara say? Why is a person stoned without clothing on?
They die faster.
Excellent. It's called misa yafe, a boil of misa yafe. It's better. It's my hope is actually whether it's better to die faster, less dragged on, or the busha. Without clothing on, that's my focus we mentioned between in the Gemara we had earlier on, but we assume without clothing on, you die faster, exactly. Okay. Ha'ich did love in Isha. Only a man is hanged, not a woman. My time, Amar Krav, Atalisa, Oso, Al Eitz. Oso, below Osa, you hang him on a tree, him and not her. Finally, Ish didn't cry with Nevaso, but Ish didn't cry with Nevaso. Only a man is sold if he stole and can't pay it back, as opposed to women. My time, why? Amar Krav, Nun Krav, Nevaso, Nevaso, below Nevaso. In his stealing, and not in her stealing. Hajj and Allah, I had no till. Kol hakavod, boys. Well done.